It is a very interesting and obviously trying time to provide career development support to students, career changers, job seekers, and others who need it, given all the ways the world has changed in 2020. What kind of support do students most need as they navigate pandemic realities, and how do colleges and universities best provide it? Today, we welcome Jeremy Padani, CEO and founder of the Career Leadership Collective. We'll discuss Jeremy's own career journey, his vision for his organization, results from the National Alumni Career Mobility Survey, and his insights on what steps are needed to ensure students can find or create purposeful work in the daunting world of work they are entering. Welcome to the Purposeful Work Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Dick. The Purposeful Work Podcast is brought to you by PathwayU, an online career assessment system that uses predictive science to help you find joy, meaning, and purpose in your career. For more information and to join, go to PathwayU.com. That's Pathway, then the letter U.com. Today on the Purposeful Work Podcast, we welcome Jeremy Padani. After successful stints in higher education leadership at Indiana University and Colorado State University, where he directed the Career Center, Jeremy established the Career Leadership Collective and serves as the organization's CEO. The Career Leadership Collective is home of the National Alumni Career Mobility, NACM, survey. Jeremy is an innovative leader and has his finger on the pulse of what colleges and universities can do to deliver the kind of support students need to succeed within their careers. You can go to their website, www.careerleadershipcollective.com, to learn more. Welcome, Jeremy, to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
All right, to start out, share with us a little about your own career journey. How would you describe your career path and what led you to the role you're in now?
Yeah, I spent about 20 years inside of higher education and really, really enjoyed the practical side of helping people with their future. And fortunate to also, along that journey, be a part of six different startups inside and outside of higher ed, kind of on the side, and realized I was probably more of a leadership coach and an entrepreneur, kind of caught inside of a career director's body. So I was running career centers and in the career services space, but loved the concept of organizations and systems and leaders and how they could make big change, and did that through entrepreneurism.
I love that. We have these stories of people like you who have the side hustle that you have interests in and that you dabble in, and then you have some successes with it, and then you get to a point where you decide, you know, I think I'm going to just do this full time. And you did that.
Yes. Yeah. So about 3.5 years ago, January of 2017, saw a bunch of trends coming together where there was really a gap in the college and university career services field to provide consultative services about developing the broader system on campus, integrating career development everywhere on campus. And so leaned in a little bit and really blessed to hit a nerve around the country. And we've done business with about 800 universities in just 3 years. It's been really incredible to come alongside and help leaders everywhere to ask the question, how do we make career development a bigger priority on the college campus?
Yeah, so let's talk about that real briefly. The Career Leadership Collective, you're talking about consulting services. What is the sweet spot for your organization? Like, would you say you do best?
Yeah. We really come alongside those that are leading the career efforts on the campus and say, how can you grow that capacity? So, you know, unfortunately, not much about career development on college campuses is mandatory. So it leaves it a little bit up to chance, but there are ways that leaders can really build career development into the fabric of the curricular, the co-curricular, and quite a number of other parts of the student experience. So our sweet spot is where leaders, systems, and growth converge all around career development.
All right. Yeah, it is interesting. It's always struck me when I see reports on what proportion of students on a particular campus utilize the Career Center services. It's often shockingly low when you realize they're paying for this with their fees and tuition, and it provides such a valuable service. So part of what you do is kind of galvanize efforts on a particular campus that you work with to make those services more visible and enticing and effective for students.
That's right. That's right. And it's quite unique for each campus. If you think about the difference between Indiana University and as a large state school and Yale as an elite private and Center College in Kentucky as a small liberal arts institution, and the list goes on, right? There's so many unique customizations that have to happen with that. So providing the unique institutional consultative experience is what we're up to, but all for the good to hopefully help more students be reflective and thoughtful about their own futures.
Yeah, I would think you'd have to spend a lot of effort gathering information about the local context and then figuring out, you know, how to work within that in order to adjust the services that are provided in a way that will work locally.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing in the box works when it comes to the right. Local context. You really have to think specifically and do a lot of analysis work up front. But it's such a joy to do that and come alongside universities.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about your newly released National Alumni Career Mobility Survey. First of all, what's the focus of this survey and how is it unique?
Yeah, you know, to date, colleges and universities haven't really had access to a broad set of more longitudinal data to really analyze alumni career success. Mostly it's been tied up in the first job, which is not really the mission of the institution. I've yet to meet a provost or faculty member that says, we exist to help students with their first job. They certainly want them to have gainful employment, engage in society, et cetera. There are other indicators out there like how much money do people make?
Yeah.
But we can't isolate holistic success, and no real individual or institution isolates it down to a paycheck and a first job. So what we wanted to do is provide a more robust set of data for colleges and universities in the first 10 years after graduation about their alumni to look at more research on career satisfaction, economic mobility, career pathways, what that looks like, aspects of the gig economy, and really how the campus helped during their undergraduate or graduate experience to contribute to their career path.
And I know one of the ways that the survey has tried to approach this is by introducing something that you call the High Impact Career Mobility Index, CMI, Career Mobility Index. What exactly does the CMI measure?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we're so excited about this because as I was mentioning, you don't want to narrow the definition of success. You really want to broaden it to include a bunch of variables. So we look at 15 variables that go into three key buckets. And those buckets are pathway preparation plus career satisfaction plus economic stability and satisfaction. So basically, in layman's terms, this is, are alumni prepared to do the work that they're doing? Are they happy? And do they feel financially stable and satisfied? Mm-hmm. And that's what we define as career mobility. So we get to run campus practices that universities engage in through this machine of the Career Mobility Index and find out what items are more likely to help with that overall career mobility picture, what students or what universities can do to help their future alumni.
Okay, so you would, tell me if I'm correct, you would see the CMI, Career Mobility Index, as a way to assess if a university is succeeding at launching graduates on a path that really meets the goals that the institution has for them. So those three buckets, I'm ready to do this, I'm happy doing it, and I'm gainfully employed. Do I have it right?
Yeah, you're really hitting on it. And we because we're like career success researchers, we can then say, what could the university do to make it more likely mm-hmm. that their alumni will feel those three things?
So let's talk about that, because I know you assess CMI, and then you also measure 41 campus practices, really to identify the kinds of activities and experiences that were the strongest influence on a graduate's career mobility. What did you find from this new survey that were actually the most important influences?
Yeah, well, I'll share a couple. There are okay. actually four big significant practices that came out. And then there were six additional influencers that campuses could really lean into. So they have a lot to explore. And this is the national data set, but because we have campus partners, they get a unique institutional footprint as well to run through the Career Mobility Index. So that's kind of a neat shade on that. In particular, I'll just share a couple of those items. One okay. is if the alumni are saying that the institution helped them create a plan for their career, so they engaged them in career planning, we see that that's a significant factor in increasing their overall career mobility. Another is if they engaged in a career-related internship during their college experience. And so we've known for a long time, it's almost common knowledge now, that internships are good, right? But yeah. And there's a bit of a spectrum of internship-related data here. So it's good. We found it's good to engage in an internship. It's a little bit better to engage in an internship related to your major. It's even better to engage in an internship that's related to your career. And that's where it really becomes significant. So that begs the question, you have to know, perhaps maybe a little bit more career decidedness or how that might relate to your career. And if you don't, that's okay, because it's still good to engage in that internship. But those that engaged in career-related internships were three times as likely to be found in the top 25% of the Career Mobility Index. Mm-hmm. And another data point, those that received during their undergraduate experience, those that received helpful career advice, of the top 25% of the CMI, 97% said they received helpful career advice. And that goes way down to like 40% when you look at the bottom 25% of the CMI. So there's a huge differentiator there. When a student, an alumni says, my institution, when I was engaging with my institution, I received helpful career advice. Mind you, only 50% of alumni say they even received helpful career advice. Hmm. So we have a lot of work to do on this space. And Brian, let's talk about the reason for that. The reason for that is right now, career development is left to chance.
Yeah.
And what happens when it's left to chance? That means, well, the student has to take the initiative, or perhaps they have a professor like you that really cares about their career development, or perhaps they have something in their classes. So it the more intentional the university can become on this topic, and I think they can do that in a way that aligns with their mission, but the more intentional they become, the better it is for alumni career mobility.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're right. A lot of, if you don't put the effort into designing a kind of intentional framework for delivering that to students, then, you know, they may or may not. I mean, it's sort of incumbent on them to figure it out on their own. And so a lot of institutions do their students a disservice by leaving it up to them without providing that kind of guidance. I'm curious about the career plan. So if the institution helps a student develop a career plan, the odds of being highly career mobile increase. How would you describe a well-designed career plan?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's got to be living and breathing and flexible throughout the college experience. It's not a one-time meeting with one person for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's not one assignment in freshman seminar. It's something that is part of the institutional value. And so therefore it's coming up a lot. You know, you'll hear people say, we're a strengths-based campus. We've inserted the strengths philosophy and theory into all of the freshman year, right? But this is the whole college experience. How are they being thoughtful, iterative about a plan? So this means that in the context of courses, faculty have the skill set to provide activities in the classroom that are reflective, that are really thoughtful about their own content. They don't have to be a career counselor. They just have to know how to embed assignments or activities that produce more career reflection, career thoughtfulness. This means that all of the student activities that happen, that the leaders of those initiatives, let's say if students go on study abroad or alternative spring break, that there's pre and post reflection about how that relates to their career. That capstone projects are not just done in isolation from the broader community or from companies where students could work, but they're actually engaging the broader community. So that there's all these tentacles that are out in the community so that the student can have this living, breathing plan that's pretty multifaceted. It's experiential, it's thoughtful, and it's purposeful.
Sure. So it's really kind of observing what these linkages between what students are learning and their career development and then opportunities on the other side of the degree and strengthening them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you also about developmental career counseling, career assessments. Would that fall under the career advice category in your survey?
Absolutely. And in fact, I think it's even more intensified in that regard, right? So, you know, we have a little bit more additional research to do defining what helpful advice could be. So every time you do a research study, you bring up about 10 to 100 more research questions. And that's,
well, I know it.
Yeah, and that's one of them is so we see alumni career mobility increase when they're engaging in both helpful career advice and career planning. But what specific interventions into what depth are really going to help? But we, on a base level, the field of career services is fairly confident that when they're engaging in developmental career exploration on a deeper level, this is extremely helpful.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, there's career advice and then there's career advice, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And we all want to make sure that what we're providing is delivered effectively and is hitting what students really need.
Well, and that's actually a really important distinction you make there, because our survey showed that faculty and classmates were the people that alumni said they received career advice from the most. Mm-hmm. But it was most helpful from career advisors and academic advisors. In fact, the chart actually flips so that those that are providing it the most are actually the least helpful. So there's a lot of, I think, professional development. And I kind of envision this day where, I don't know if you remember back when multicultural competency was getting huge and there was this movement to say we want all staff and faculty on a campus, if they're going to engage in society today, to have some level of base multicultural competency. I think there's a day coming where all faculty and staff have to have a base level of career competency where they can engage in basic career conversations. They know how to embed reflective activities. I think that's going to be a must for colleges of the future.
It does seem that it's already becoming increasingly important as, you know, consumers are holding colleges and universities more accountable to outcomes, right? And
no doubt.
And so that kind of leads to another question. I know that the data that you are reporting on in this survey was collected prior to the pandemic. And I'm just wondering what thoughts you have about how the results might be influenced in the next round of this by virtue of our world changing so dramatically in 2020.
Yeah, and we're really interested in this question as well. And we are going to control for this in the this year's administration of the survey. We'll be able to understand two dimensions of how COVID has changed both the job activities, meaning were they laid off, furloughed, stayed the same, and the nature of work from alumni. So that will be interesting to control for that. I think also, though, when you think back to the college and university campus, the beauty in a principle that rises to the top of receiving helpful career advice or engaging in a career plan, that's different than the mode in which that happens. And I think mostly what we're seeing is that the mode of delivery is going to be moved more toward online, platform-based career exploration, et cetera, and still have a personal touch, but those are going to happen in much different ways than the really the delivery model of career services for years has been come see us. Mm-hmm. And that's changing.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you also, you know, we're talking about the COVID-19 pandemic there's another pandemic that is on the front of everyone's minds in 2020, the racism pandemic. And, you know, there's no shortage of data that point to systemic racism in our institutions. We know 70% of white students graduate with a bachelor's degree within 6 years of starting school, but only 52% of Black and Latino students do. Default rate for school loans is 3 times higher for Latino students and 5 times higher for Black students than it is for whites. And there's well-established evidence of racial discrimination in the labor market. What are some concrete things that colleges and universities can do to better support the career development of students of color?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And this is something that's been embedded in what we do for the last 3.5 years, kind of since our inception. And when you get into changing systems and everything about it, you get into equity very quickly. And it's been fascinating for us to see how that has played out in the Alumni Career Mobility Survey as well, to look at some of the data there. And I mentioned that when career development is left to chance, what does that then mean for students of color? And initially, what the alumni data reports is that 64% of white students said that they received career advice, as opposed to, you can look at a bunch of demographics. For example, only 40% of non-traditional students, 50% of Latino students. African-American was at 62%, which is much higher than Latino. There's differences in those that are receiving career advice. So the name of the game right now is intentionality. And there are a couple of, it can't be just checking a box. It can't be just saying we did one program for diverse students. It's got to be, how are we considering our strategic plans, the data that we're analyzing, the services that we offer, our marketing and messaging, the team that we're referring people to. It's everything about this that has to be intentional. So if we leave career development to chance, majority students will be the ones that use career development and they'll have more career mobility. But if we're intentional to say, okay, we need to consider strategic and specific outreach to each community. If you think of the concept of how do we help every student, the paradigm shift we're in the middle of right now is, and when you're in the middle of a paradigm shift, it's messy, right? But we're in the middle of this paradigm shift between, we just offer career services, to we're really interested in helping every student with their career development. That's what colleges are wrestling with right now. And when they lean into the new emerging paradigm here of, we want to help every student, every means every numeric, but it also means every identity. It also means every story, every experience. And therefore, we can't just say, here's the buffet, come eat. We have to say, modernize our example and say, we're more like Uber Eats and we're going to bring it right to your door.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very poignant example in the COVID era when that's literally happening.
Exactly. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I know you well enough to know, Jeremy, that you're an optimistic person. So I'm fishing for some optimism here and asking this question. Eventually, we will get through this crazy period, and the need for quarantines and other extreme measures to manage the pandemic will fade, and some things will return back to normal. But I think we realize the world will not be the same as it was before. So what do you see as some of the lasting changes you expect in terms of what colleges and universities will do to support student career development?
Yeah, well, to some degree, I stopped predicting the future around March 20th. But I will give it a shot here. after multiple false predictions, who can do that in the middle of a global pandemic? But I'll trend spot a little bit here and tell you some of the trends that we're seeing is, you know, when admissions and enrollment and recruitment, if the story that they've been telling in a great economy has been, look at the rate of our students who get their first job. Well, that's now going to be quite different and in the gutter, at least for a couple of years. So there's been this pressure since 2008 on return on investment. And so the messaging and understanding of data on alumni success and how the university is actually doing something about that is going to be an even bigger part of the value proposition that has to be shared through recruitment, retention initiatives. I think the whole family is going to be behind this. There's going to have to be much more emphasis on on family involvement in career development even. We're starting to see career development courses for parents. We're starting to see career development as a strategy to deal with recruitment melt at universities. So there's courses offered to students to say, look at how we help you. You'll want to stay here and not go somewhere else. And I think those colleges and universities that are maybe a little bit too nervous about how am I going to get the classes going during COVID? How are we transforming all the basics, but can't take at least the next step into what does this mean for student futures? Over time, it's going to be a brand hurt. It's going to really hurt their brand, and it's going to hurt. And the students are authentically looking for it. They're looking for assistance. They're looking for personalized assistance. But if they don't find it, they might go somewhere else. And so I see this only becoming bigger. So it really is from before they even arrive, career data and the career experience is going to be a key part of this.
And that just fits so well with what we know from career development research, the importance of a highly rich, supportive environment and one that brings in people from within the student's own social support network. So they're not on their own. They're not making decisions in a vacuum, but they're being provided with a much higher level of support. I can see how that would be very beneficial to institutions, but obviously it's crucial for students.
It is crucial for students. It's crucial for justice. It's crucial for so many parts of it. I think if college students, where parents and families are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars, are saying we're not intentional about your student's future, or we leave that to chance, there's going to be a major problem that happens in the future.
Let me end with a personal question, Jeremy. When you think about your own life, your own work, what would you say are the most important factors that make it purposeful?
Being rich in relationships is one factor for sure, is knowing a lot of people in the domain that I'm in and being there to help. I've really learned that even through this pandemic, there was a point where, you know, we're watching colleges and universities go through pain. And when you're a consultancy for people that are shutting down budgets and going through pain, then your organization goes through a little bit of it. And so I'm facing that. And a lot of great staff conversations on our team and saying, but what are we here for? And the answer was to understand the problems, to empathize with people, and to provide practical solutions to help them. So for me, it really is richness in relationships, listening to big challenges that organizations and people are facing, and finding helpful solutions. And, you know, I think it's really interesting when I found that when I'm thinking about my own good ideas, I often miss their problems and helping them the best. So anybody can have great ideas, but when you can really listen to the people you're trying to help and then formulate the solutions, that's where I find that the magic happens.
So well said, Jeremy. I admire the work that you do and the organization you've helped create and its mission and the way that you're working to make the world better through the work that you do. I'm just very grateful for your willingness to come on the podcast and share some of your wisdom with us.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Great to be here.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this episode of the Purposeful Work Podcast. The Purposeful Work Podcast is brought to you by Pathway U. To learn more about Pathway U, go to pathwayu.com. And as a thank you for listening to this episode, Pathway U is offering a 20% off coupon code. When you check out, simply enter the code PURPOSEPOD. I'm your host, Brian Dick. We'll see you next time.